You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The presenting sponsor of the City of Smack podcast is On. Experience the magic of the Penn Relays with On. Races, athletes, new kits, new faces. Try the latest On running shoe innovations. Customize your gear and more. For the full event schedule, keep tabs on the Penn Relays website. And if you can't be there in person, follow On Instagram for all of the action. The City of Smack team will be in Philadelphia at Franklin Field for that weekend slate of races. We're so excited. Thanks to On for supporting City of Smack. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the City of Smack podcast. I'm Chris Chavez, and this is my show where I get the chance to chat with some of the biggest names on the track, on the roads, within the coaching ranks, and across the running industry. Before we hit our interview, we love giving the listeners a shout out when they leave us a review. If you want yours to be read, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and let us know why you love this show. This week's review comes to us from at Bacon Drummond, who wrote, quote, "Real news, how you want to hear it, by real runners to your real ears, for real miles to real marathons." It was a short, sweet, simple, and accurate review. Thanks, Bacon Drummond. We're here to inform, entertain, and hype up all things track and field. My guest for today's episode is Sage Herta Klecker. I can't believe it's taken me this long to get her on the podcast. I really enjoy watching Sage race because each time out, she's going to put herself in the mix and take big swings. She's done that at each of the last 3 years since turning pro and joining the On Athletics Club. She's fully committed to breaking through and making a U.S. team in the 800 meters, which is one of the toughest teams to make. The commitment is admirable. We chatted just days after she got into the blocks and opened up her outdoor season with a local 400-meter race in Boulder, Colorado. She ended up squeaking out a tiny PR of 54.78. It speaks to her range with a 157 personal best for 800 meters. She's gone 425 for the mile. You can catch more of the On Athletics Club in action this weekend at the Penn Relays. On is one of the major sponsors, and we'll have tons of activations there. Because of their commitment to the meet, they've been able to elevate 12 events to World Athletic Silver Label, so there's some great points on the line there as well. If you find yourself in the Philly area, head on over to Franklin Field. Without further ado, here is Sage Herta Klecker. All right, here's a guest who I'm surprised I haven't had on the podcast in such a long time. I've had so many of your teammates around you, but I'm, you know, way overdue for a one-on-one episode with Sage Herta Klecker. Sage, welcome finally to the City of Smack podcast.
I know, I'm excited to get to chat.
So let's start off with like just the most recent big news around you is like this 400 endeavor. I enjoyed all of the content all throughout the weekend. You just kind of opened up quietly, you know, in Boulder. When we were kind of coordinating the times for this interview, I was texting Andrew Weeding and he was like, "Oh yeah, well, you know, Sage, I'll see you in a bit. Like, she's getting ready for this 400 at CU." And I was like, "Oh, that's funny." And then my next text after that was, "I hope she's been doing block starts." So I guess take me through this foray to open up the season with a 400.
Yeah, so we've kind of been talking about it. It'd be fun to get a time on the board. And Dathan also, just partly because I like didn't finish out the indoor season like I planned, we're like, oh gosh, this is going to be a lot of training, like a huge training block. So we wanted to get racing a little bit sooner, but nothing super high stakes. So we decided to do a 400. And then I was like, well, I want to start in block. So I've been practicing my block starts the last couple of weeks. So it's funny. A couple of people have seen me at the track. They're like, "Is that Sage coming out of blocks?" The first day it was super awkward, but then I know after a couple of sessions, I'm like, okay, I'm at least look like a decent 400 runner. I'm not convincing anyone that I can run a 60 anytime soon, but I can stay up and start running. But then it ended up being like a little bit crazier last week about whether I was actually going to run the 400 or not, because we had a huge windstorm in like the Boulder area on Saturday when the meet was scheduled, with gusts of like 50 plus miles per hour. And so we were like, okay, we're definitely not running a 400 in that. So then my whole week got switched around. So we were going to do a time trial on Friday, but then the night before, they switched the whole meet to be a one-day meet on Friday. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm racing tomorrow. So it was like 6 p.m. the night before. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm running a 400 at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Yeah. And then it was a little bit of a bummer, because I don't know like whether it was because the meet changed, but then half the people who were in my race didn't show up. So it was like four of us. There was no one on the my inside lane and no one on the two lanes outside of me. So I was like, okay, I'm basically just doing a time trial anyways.
It's amazing. All right, so 54.78. Are you happy with it, all things considered?
I mean, it hit my first goal of getting an official PR, which it was by like the slightest margin. It was fine. I'm like, one big thing I'm trying to do is trying to like not be so hard on myself, because I knew going into it, it was going to be really hard to put together a great 400, because I pretty much never run a 400. And since I come to the 800 from like a little bit more of a distance background, it's pretty rare for me even to run that fast. So it was okay. I got out and I'm like, oh shoot, I don't think I got out fast enough. So that was my, I don't know. I think I could get them next time.
I hope that there is a next time. So then
yeah.
You also doubled back and then ran an 800. 204 is what I see here.
Yeah. Yeah. It was coach's orders were a big negative split. That was what the assignment was. So I tried to make that happen, which we went through like 64 high ish, or depending on whose watch we're going off of.
So the fact that you bring up that like, this was just like a tiny PR. So then I just looked. I was like, oh, wait. So what was the previous PR? Then it was 54.84 for the 400. Same meet in 2021. So is it sort of just like, all right, it's the Olympic year. Let's kind of run back a similar playbook to 2021, except now you're much faster, much stronger. How are you approaching just sort of the calendar flipping, and all of a sudden now this is the year everyone's prepping for?
Yeah. You know, I feel like it makes the stakes a lot higher. Everyone's super invested. Everyone's going to try to bring their A game. This year I've had like a little bit more of a laid back approach. Maybe it is a little bit of that going back to basics, like starting out with something that really feels like a home meet, where, you know, that second lap of the 800, when I was winding it up, it felt like everyone was watching, everyone was cheering, like my old teammates. At this point, like, they're the seniors on the team, but they were like the freshmen when I was at CU. Like, I was chatting with them a little bit before the meet. So it was like definitely going back to basics a little bit and having fun with it. And I don't know, I found that like last year, after having such a successful 2022, things got like a little stressful to me when I don't operate great in that situation. So now we're just having fun, and the standard is still the same, but I don't know, I don't have to be as intense about it.
So where we're at now, it's, you know, April 9th as we're recording this. You know, overall, how is your body feeling after, you know, one indoor race, which wasn't the plan, right? Like, I think Nathan hopefully anticipated you would run, like, you would say indoors, gone on to maybe world indoors. But you just ran the 3K at BU, and indoor season gets cut short. Even before that, like, you'd been dealing with like some other injuries and illnesses. So are we finally at this point where things have turned for the better?
Yeah. This last month was definitely the best month of training that I've had in a really long time, where it kind of switched from me having to adjust my expectations to like, oh, this is a good week for where I'm at right now, to suddenly putting together workouts that just objectively are pretty good for me and sort of stacking the weeks and the body's still feeling good. And I feel like at this point in the year where training volume's still pretty high, like we're not out of the woods yet, but I'm feeling pretty optimistic about where I'm at. Like at the moment, everything's working correctly and I'm feeling good.
The 800 itself, like in the last couple of years, you know, now it does sort of feel like with Nia and the season that she had like last year, mm-hmm. you know, kind of, I've brought this up to you multiple times, just sort of in the mix zone. And I ask of it to just kind of every other US 800 meter woman whose name is not a thing, Mo, Aji Wilson, and Raven Rogers, that it's like for the longest time, like those were the top three and like it couldn't get mm-hmm. cracked. Last year, we finally do start to see, you know, a bit of a crack in that top three. And you've been someone who's, you know, competed at these diamond leagues and like at the highest level, that you're right there, kind of like on the precipice of being the one to crack them. Has it changed? Do you think like things have sort of changed in sort of the landscape of the women's 800, where, you know, even a thing, there was a blemish on her losing at Worlds and finishing third. That's her bad day. But mm-hmm. overall, just like the women's 800 in the United States, just, it's insane how it just continues to level up, but at the same time, the players don't change.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, across the board, there are obviously like a few more names in the mix.
Yeah.
I think, in some ways, like maybe some of the top people that we've seen for a long time, they're not like quite as like, you know, rock solid as they've been in the past. But I feel like then it's also like there are other people like Nia, for example, who are sort of like leveling up to be at that level where it's sort of like, okay, if I'm going to play at this game, I got to be on that level. But I don't know. I think it's really exciting because it is so wide open. Like, I think it's wide open. I think it's hard to compete when you know that people have been at that level and they know what it takes to be at that level. That's like one thing that's super hard about it is like when you've been there before, you know, it's a little bit easier to get back there almost because you're like, okay, I know exactly when I need to show up and how I can do it. But I don't know. I really haven't been thinking about the big few quite as much as like maybe in 2021 when I was just starting to run the 800 at this level, where I want to sort of like rely and think about, okay, who am I as a runner, as opposed to like trying to play at whoever else's game or like trying to emulate someone else, like what works best for me. And yeah, I would still say that, you know, a thing in particular, she might is like at this point in her career, she's probably still like a step removed, but at the same time, she's relatively young and like no one's training is perfect and no one's always feeling perfect.
The presenting sponsor of the Sidious Mag podcast is Olipop. This has been an exciting year for Olipop. In addition to renewing their partnership with us for 2024, they are now being sold at Aldi and Wawa. They've been popping up with events, advertising, and branding in Austin, Miami, and D.C. They just signed on to sponsor John Hunter Nemechek and car number 42 in the NASCAR Cup Series. Big things are happening. What has become known as the runner soda isn't just a great companion for pregame shows or post-race shows, it's good for you too. It's a prebiotic soda with 9 grams of fiber, which is 32% of your daily needs, and only has 2 to 5 grams of sugar and helps your digestive health in a way that a threshold workout could never. We love it because there are 15 incredible flavors that will keep your body refreshed and ready to go for that next workout. My current favorite is lemon lime, although tropical punch is a close number 2. Caitlin Toohey's number 1 flavor is ginger lemon. There's other greats like vintage cola, orange squeeze, cherry vanilla. Sidious Mag podcast listeners, you get 25% off non-subscription orders by using code SIDIOUS25 at checkout when you visit drinkolipop.com. You can also find Olipop at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Publix, and other retailers. But we encourage you to shop online at drinkolipop.com, support Sidious Mag, and use code SIDIOUS25 at checkout. The next time you're looking for a refreshing and healthy drink after that long run or hard workout, reach for an Olipop. You won't be disappointed. DrinkOlipop.com, code SIDIOUS25. In the last couple of years, I guess aside from, you know, the trials in 2021, I could see like for a lot of pro athletes, like when you get that close, it would be so heartbreaking and devastating and just like this huge toll on them. And each time I think at USA is like, yes, there's like that a little bit of initial shock after a race where it's like, didn't go my way. But each time you've kind of come around, you know, to talk to the media afterwards, it's like, I think you're pretty content at the fact that like, hey, you left it all out there and like these races just haven't played out in your favor. How do you kind of keep that balance and that level set with your mental side of things where it's like, you left it all out there, it didn't go well, but you're not out of it entirely?
Yeah. I mean, at some point I'm like, well, I haven't made a team yet. And yet I still believe that I'm a great runner. And so like, regardless of whether I made the last team or not, I still feel like I'm a great runner. And then I think that sometimes it's a little bit misleading because I do tend to be like pretty even keel at right after a race. And then a little while later, I'll be like really upset about it. I'm like, it takes me a little while for it to set in.
When you get back to your bag, it's probably like when it hits.
Exactly. Last season, it was a little bit more, I was a little bit more off kilter than I normally am, like coming off of my fourth place at USA's, but I was also dealing with like injury. So I think it just made everything a bit more complicated from like me and how I was handling everything. Where then the second half of the season, I felt like, whereas normally like my performance and my approach to everything is pretty even keel, I was like all over the place where I'd have a great day and then I'd have a terrible day, even just in training. So it took a little bit to sort of like reel that back in and sort of get back. I feel like by the Diamond League final at Puri last year, I was finally back to the point where I'm like, okay, we're back to our normal self after like the USAs. And I went straight to Europe and did some racing. And then in between, it was like, okay, we need to do a total reset because mostly in my training, I was feeling like all over the place.
When you hit it at the Diamond League final, is that sort of just, there's, you know, a population of athletes who'd be like, all right, now I'm feeling it. I'd want more opportunities to race. But of course, like that's the end of the year. Then there would be other people who would be like, okay, we finally got back on track. This is a good place to stop. And then, you know, we'll pick it up from here in a couple weeks after we take a break. You were in that kind of second bucket.
Yeah, I had gotten an MRI before the Diamond League final because we were like, okay, we're going to finally decide what is going or figure out what's going on. Because for me, it was sort of just like a head down, keep moving, let's finish out the season. And so I knew that like I needed to take a break anyways. And okay, we're going to get to next week and get one last race in, but we're going to have to take a reset and a slow build up coming back from this injury.
And then I guess for you, looking at just where you're at with your pro career, right? It was, you signed, you know, in 2021, 2022, first full year working with Dathan, then you got last year. And it's been a lot of like strength work with the 50, you know, 1500, 800. Now, I guess like you're refining that speed. How does this all sort of come together? And like, in terms of just like taking 3 years of work for the Olympic year. So, I mean, like, where is it? Is this year kind of going to be more focused on, so far with like all these workouts and stuff, the speed side of things?
You know, it's kind of seems backwards because I feel like I've been talking or like I've been a little bit more into the speed work this year, but we did a bunch of speed work last year, but we almost like went too far with it. And this year we're kind of like doing both, or we're trying to do both, where we're combining like a lot of the strength stuff that is such a hallmark of Dathan's program, and then adding in some of the speed work in like a really mindful way. And the speed work this year, it's been a lot more like, now I do, this is like total normal sprinter stuff, I think, but now I do like a full warm up before I do any sort of sprinting. And between all these like extra drills and plyometrics and sprinting and the gym work that I'm doing, like it just really helps me mechanically feel better. So it's been like a little bit more, my body just feels good doing the sprint work, but we're still really focusing on the strength side of things.
Who helps you out on like the shorter sprint stuff?
So right now it's a combination a little bit. Our assistant coach, Kelsey Quinn, she was a 400 runner.
That's so right.
Which is like, for going back to us starting out of blocks, Dathan's like, yeah, you should wait till Kelsey gets here because like I have no clue what I'm doing. So yeah, Kelsey, and then also our strength coach, Jason Ross. He is like a pure sprint guy, like push bobsled. So he has some tips for me as well.
I just, I brought this up to Helen. I just think like the whole OAC dynamics of just how people fit into different workouts is so funny. Like one day you could be doing some stuff with Josette and Alicia, and the next day it's like, oh no, all right, Sage, Helen's jumping in with you on some of the shorter stuff. Does that keep just sort of like the everyday environment fresh and like fun?
Yeah, and then when you get to the end of the workout and it's like, oh, you're pacing Helen for this last 400, I'm like, oh boy, I don't want to mess up her workout.
Where do you think kind of, because I guess Alicia was day one with the team. You came in just kind of even that following summer. Has the women's side of the team, do you feel like you're one of the two leaders on there? I know Helen is like the queen, the mama bear of the whole group, and you do have, some newer faces that have joined the team. So I guess like how do you feel like your role fits into the team?
I mean, I think I've never been, I don't know, like for example, I feel like Joe has like a little bit more of a defined leadership role that people might be able to point out. I feel like as someone who's been on the team for a while, I will often try to like bring the women's team together for different things, just as like to kind of keep things cohesive because I guess as I've been on the team, I've seen everyone goes in like 1 million different directions. And I think that's one thing that's really special about our women's team is like everyone really has space to be themselves. It's like, not that we aren't a cohesive group, but it's not like so tight-knit that it's like someone's trying to like appease someone else. It's like, no, everyone kind of has like their very unique personality and everyone is like accepted and encouraged to be themselves. So I feel like as a constant on the team, it's just sort of like maintaining that type of environment where whoever you are, you're welcome to like show up and be your best self. Of course, like not, you can't be mean. You can't like be putting people down. That's when we would have problems. But I think just continuing to help, A, when you're in a training environment, not having it be like overly competitive because I feel like that can be destructive at times. And then, yeah, just continuing to support everyone and make sure that we're coming back together as everyone has very different things that they're doing from marathon to 800.
Velus is the active recovery footwear brand that is designed to help you restore, revive, and re-energize before and after you train. They are launching two new styles to their recovery mix for spring 2024, the Active Slide and the Active Flip Collection. These active recovery sandals are super lightweight and equipped with Velus's three-part tri-motion technology. They cradle your heel with impact-absorbing foam that cushions your feet with every step. It's got amazing arch support and forefoot flex that allows your fatigued feet and toes to stretch and relax. Velus is focused on helping athletes recover faster before and after you train so you can get after your next run performing at your best. Run, recover, repeat with Velus. Enjoy a 20% discount by entering code SidiousMag20 at checkout at VelusFootwear.com. When it comes to just like some of these activities and events that like you coordinate, what are some of the ones that are like, all right, is it like everyone getting together to watch a certain show? Is it like the birthday parties? Because I've seen sort of like the off the track stuff from the group is always funny to watch as well.
Yeah, well, one thing that I thought was fun, and I sort of recruited Cinta into helping me with this. Well, she wanted to host, so we went to her house. But when all the boys went to run the Hawaii Mile, we were all just stuck here, and we're like, this is so unfair. None of us are going to Hawaii. So we had like a Hawaii night, where I don't know, I just Googled like what is Hawaiian food, and we made some Hawaiian food and like dressed up for it, and I had this like big inflatable palm tree, It wasn't really that everyone kind of like brought something to contribute. So that was fun in our little bit of island time.
Do you think it was ultimately was better than the guy's trip?
I don't know. I went to Hawaii 2 years ago, and I'm not sure it quite was this. There was no ocean breeze to accompany dinner.
That race in particular, so many people are so curious about it because it falls in such a weird spot on the calendar. It's like, oh, December, and it's like tied into the marathon. I guess like what is it as simple as just like, yeah, I mean, I'll go run a race in Hawaii, no matter what type of fitness you're in at that point in the season. Like you take the free trip, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I feel like I'd want to show up at least in decent
Yeah.
fitness, which is part of why I didn't put my name in the hat this year. But yeah, I mean, and I don't really care if I win the Hawaii Mile in December. I just want to put a good showing and have a fun time.
Yeah. No, that's ultimately every single time I see the fields, I'm like, oh, these are the lucky few for the year. So let's talk a little bit about just sort of like the next couple months. As of right now, like what is sort of the loose sort of outline for your outdoor season look like?
I'll truly open my season despite my 400 this past weekend and 800 at Penn with the 1500. It'll sort of be my one opportunity to run a 15 in the first part of this season. Then I'll open up at the LA Grand Prix for the 800. Right now I'm currently planning on doing the Music City meet in Tennessee at the end of May, I believe, and then the New York City Grand Prix as one last 800 before the trials.
I mean, it's kind of wild when it outlines. It's going to go by so quick, and be here all before we know it. For Penn specifically, On is of course a big backer of the Penn Relays, sponsor of the Penn Relays, and the last couple of years, I guess, like you've run a variety of distances there, right? It was 2 years ago was the 800. It might have been a rainy night or something like that, if I remember. Your first time under two, right? And then last year there was the 600, right?
600,
This year 1500. So I guess what draws you back to the Penn Relays?
I mean, I actually like grew up very like my parents when they ran in college, they really liked when they would go to the Penn Relays, like, the college relay environment. And then there were a couple years when I was young that we lived in New Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia. So when I was super young, I got dragged to the Penn Relays a couple times, where all I cared about was like the steeplechase and watching the people jump into the pit. But then I actually, so that was like my first introduction to it. So I feel like I've known about the Penn Relays and either been a fan or involved for forever. So then I ran a couple times in high school, and then the 800, and then the 600 most recently. I don't know. I've always done like fairly well there. It's such an exciting environment, especially that like Saturday during the day. There's so many people that come together, and then it's also great for me because I love whenever I get the chance to go back to the East Coast for any meets because I so rarely got to do that in college, being like Colorado, Pac-12, everything was in California.
You really made it expensive for your parents to go and see you at track meets.
They're very used to traveling all the way from New York to Eugene, let me tell you.
You brought up watching and growing up cheering for the steeplechase. I did just notice, like on your profile, there is steeplechase results from 2017, 2018. Never given thought to, hey, I'd love to do it again.
I was a very reluctant steeplechaser. Like, I don't know. We ended up leaving it because despite, whatever sort of potential I had in the event, I was like, being a good steeplechaser does not get me out of bed in the morning at all. I was like, the thing about the steeplechase is like when it gets hard, it gets really hard. And I mean, you can say that about the 800, but like, I don't know. By the time it gets hard in 800, you just keep pressing and it'll be over very soon. The steeplechase is like, it gets hard and you still have like 800 meters to go. and you have to jump over things and get through the water. And it's just a totally different experience and not for me.
You got under 10, 9.57 at yep. Stanford. And then you competed at USA, isn't it? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was that PR was, I was the Pac-12 champion that year.
That should be the one where, like, I think I was talking to Nikki about this, whereas like, it's always interesting what they call out when you're on the starting line of a race. It's yeah. like, oh, Sage Herta, two-time NCAA champion. Like, it should be that.
Yeah. Pac-12, steeplechase champion. Well, in two separate years, I won the 800 and the steeplechase. Who can say that?
Yeah. So someone should dig into like the stats to find out who there is for that. Yeah. All right, Sage. Well, final questions I like to ask every guest. You know, it's been a while since I've done the funniest drug testing story, and I think I'll bring it back for a period of time. What is the funniest drug testing story you've got?
Well, this, I don't know if it's the funniest, but I remember when you asked Danny Jones this question.
Okay.
When you had her on the podcast, probably when we were back in college, and she was talking about when we won the DMR at NCAA's my freshman year. So this was 2017, and she was talking about the freshman who took forever, and that was me. So I got shouted out as part of her funniest drug testing story because it was my first time ever getting drug tested. I was so dehydrated. It took me like hours to produce a sample.
That's amazing. Like I've asked so many people that like it just all blurs in my head, like unless it was something totally ridiculous. But I'm glad that like I've got that somewhere in the archives. I'll have to pull that clip. And then just finally we find out who the freshman was.
Now I've like, I don't know. I'm very on it. I'm like, okay, I got to learn. I'm a little bit scarred from how long that experience was, and then like getting called out by Danny. So
if you could go on a run anywhere in the world with anyone from history, assuming they could hold a nice conversational pace with you, where would the run take place and who'd it be with?
You know, I kind of feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm just in a certain mood right now, but it would be so fun to like get my, like the year that we won cross country in for Colorado in like 2018 or something. It would be really fun to get that group back together for a run, like the good old days, you know?
How many, I guess, NCAA champions were at your wedding? Because like I remember seeing like some of the photos and stuff. Like there was a lot of them there, right?
Yeah. I mean, then if you just count Olympians, there were also a lot of them there.
Kyle, I think, famously has told me, he's like, he believes that he's had the most sub-4 milers at his wedding. Like, I was like, okay, that's a fun stat, dude. But like, there should be something out there like, oh, what is the wedding that has hosted like the most Olympians in attendance? You definitely.
Yeah, that's actually like the criteria for getting invited. It's like, what's your mile time? Have you competed at the Olympics?
That'd be good. That's a good way to be like, you're on the B list. Why don't you go to a sound running meet or something like that?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, final question. If you get 25 shots from half court, you make one, you win $25 million. You don't make any, you go to jail for 25 years. Would you attempt the shots?
Ooh, I don't think so. I don't think I would. I'm too risk averse. I'm like, you know, I'd rather not have any money and get to see the light of day.
Smart answer. I mean, I think I always agree with people on that one. Although I'm trying to think of like who would be the best basketball player on the OAC team, or like the worst would probably be the easiest one to figure out. I think it'd be Jared.
I mean, Jared is so tall and lanky. Like that's just such an advantage.
That is an advantage. I can't picture him shooting a basketball though.
Yeah. It's like you can't really imagine Jared doing a lot of things and then he does it and you're like, oh wow, it's okay, true. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, Sage, I appreciate you doing this and I'm sure I'll see you at a meet coming up soon. Definitely New York City Grand Prix and definitely at USA's, but I appreciate you taking the time.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. I love doing this for you guys, so please do me a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That helps us grow the show and get even more awesome guests. Let me know what you're enjoying about the show. Make sure you're subscribed or following on your favorite podcast players. Please share this episode with your friends if you think that they'll get any value or inspiration out of it. Let's build this thing together. Visit sidiousmag.com for a lot more. We've got a brand new website with tons more articles, videos, and podcasts. As always, I love track and field. I'm Chris Chavez. See you next time.